people. For those of you who do not know me, for the new faces who haven't been here before, I'm the pastor here. And I just want to thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for showing up and coming out and supporting Refuge and the work that we're doing here. I'm thankful for everyone who's here tonight who took time out of your weekend to come and to worship with us tonight. Tonight, we are finishing up our series in Holy Habits, the Sanctity of Self-Care. We've been in a series for the last about 5 or 6 weeks talking about holy habits and how caring for ourselves is biblical, how Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And Jesus is in that verse saying, love yourselves well. The verse that I'm speaking of is in Mark chapter 12. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion, prayer, intelligence, and energy. And here is the second, love others as well as you love yourself. A lot of times in churches and service, we neglect ourselves. We're told to give and live in a way that is self-sacrificing. But I have a value in my life, and I have a value that I want to implement here at Refuge, where we care for ourselves, our mental health, our emotional health, our spiritual health. And that's what this series has been about, talking about the holiness of caring for ourselves so that we can love others well. The other verse that we've been looking at a lot is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And these are in the Message translation, so you might not recognize them, but it says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Then come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And that for me, like I said, this is the whole heart of Refuge, is loving ourselves so that we can love people well. What I want Refuge to be is a safe place for people to come who need people. People in Refuge being people to people who need people. People has no, that word has no meaning anymore. How we love ourselves is directly related to how we love others. It's expressed outwardly in how we love others. And if I've said it once this series, I've said it 479 times. You cannot give from an empty well. You cannot serve from an empty place. You cannot love others when your tank is on empty. So we've learned about meditation, centering and focusing our minds. We've talked about prayer, that conversation that connects us with not only God, but connects us with ourselves. We've talked about silence and solitude, sitting still and just being and learning to be okay with yourself, learning to let go of distractions. We've talked about Sabbath and resting and stopping. And I'm going to do a whole series on this in the future because there's just so much beauty in what Sabbath really is that I couldn't get into it in my sermon. But Sabbath is basically giving ourselves permission to stop. We're not machines. We matter enough to God that he gave us the gift of rest, the gift to stop. We're allowed to sit back and say, what I've done is good enough, and I am enough, and I get to rest. And last week we talked about, among other things, deconstruction. And it is a holy habit that helps us bridge the gap from loving ourselves to loving others well. And the act of deconstruction is the act of removing harmful and outdated things like racism and white supremacy and replacing it with love. Which gets us to tonight talking about loving others well. And that was, we kind of started that last week with deconstruction about loving others well. But tonight I want to talk about being in community and doing the work of love. I'm not here to preach to all of us, including myself. I've been preaching to myself this series as much as I've been preaching to anybody in the room. But I'm not up here to preach about self-care and our mental health and our emotional health for the sole purpose of group therapy. That's great. It's been a little bit of that, yes. But the purpose of this whole series has not been to prioritize yourself and neglect others. The heart of this series is to love yourself so we can prioritize others well. I know it's kind of contradictory, but being people to people who need people means we need to be as whole as we can be. And maybe not as whole as we can be, but we need to love ourselves enough to escape kids' church when we're bored and know that we don't need to be in kids' church anymore. Jesus modeled this for us. Walk with me, work with me. Jesus withdrew to connect with God. He withdrew to connect with his purpose. Elijah, we talked about in silence and solitude in the deepest, darkest moments of his life. We talked about how Elijah was actually suffering from depression. And in those dark, dark moments, it was the silence and solitude where God was able to bring him back to his call as a prophet, walk him back to who he was created to be, and remind him of his purpose. And while taking care of ourselves is important. Silence and solitude, being alone, working on ourselves, it's important to our mental health. But community is equally as important to our mental health as the rest of it. We don't withdraw or retreat to stay withdrawn or retreated away from people and our purpose. We don't run away from people just to be away from people. Because when we watch what Jesus did, he withdrew, but he would come back to preach, to teach, to feed the multitude. Jesus would always come back to his disciples. He would always come back to people, to sit at the tables with sinners, to flip the tables of the religious. He always came back to his community. And community and relationships and being intentional and how we love each other in this building, in this church, is what I want to be a part of our values here at Refuge. Because community, people in our lives, remind us that we were never meant to live this life alone. We find clarity and healing in the solitude and the silent moments with God so that we can show up more fully and more lovingly for other people. We were never meant to live this life alone. And we learn this in the beginning in Genesis 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." And here we have another beautiful example of why we need to deconstruct and why it's important. Because this verse is not fully about marriage. Yes, it supports the social construct of a loving monogamous marriage, that it's not good for people to be alone, so they get married and they join a union. But at the heart of this verse, that's not what it's about. In the Hebrew, the original language of Genesis, the phrase "the man" is Ha Adam. And I put it up there for everybody who knows how to read Hebrew. Beth, is that you? Did I spell it right? Did I copy and paste it correctly from BibleGateway.com? It is the phrase "the man," Ha Adam. And this is a compound word, one word that makes up two parts that does not translate to the male or just man. It translates to the human, or humankind, or humanity. Yes, later in the chapter, we get language that starts to make distinctions, like from male to female. But in this moment, in this verse, the author is telling us that this is about humanity, all of humankind in the most basic singular form. Ha Adam means the human, not just a man, not just a woman, but the first person representing all of humankind to come. So the context of this verse actually says it is not good for this human or any part of humankind to be alone. Not good. Remember back a couple weeks to the Sabbath in creation, God stepped back and said, "This is good." God gave us permission to step back and look at our work and look at our life and say, "This is good." This is the only time in the creation story that something is not good. And what is not good? To be alone. And you're probably thinking, Nicole, you've literally been teaching us that silence and solitude and being alone is healthy and vital to our mental health, and that is correct. But the holy habit of silence and solitude, the holy habit of solitude in itself, is much different than hermiting away like a recluse and not being around people because you don't like social interactions. But it's an intentional stepping away from the demands of life to connect with God and to connect with your purpose. We've all been in those moments where all we want to do is get under the blanket and just binge watch TV. Am I right? I've been there. I don't know. I've been there. I've lived my life there. But that's not solitude. That's isolation. It is. Because you are unplugged. You're not connecting with God. You're not connecting with yourself. The act and the habit of solitude is intentionally stopping, removing distractions, and connecting with your purpose. And we do that so we can be around people. Like I said, Jesus didn't withdraw to stay there. He came out of his solitude to work and be in his community. Genesis 2:18 is a statement about the human condition that we were not meant to live in isolation because we need people. We need partners. We need friends. We need family. We need community. All the introverts in the room, I know you don't want to hear this. I know just like all the introverts, which is the whole church, is about to leave me. But having community is self-care. Having people in your life is self-care. Being around people is good for you. I know, right? I wrote that sentence and I was like, I don't know if I could preach that and be genuine about that. But people are good for you. There are some statistics that I'd like to share with you because I like to have things make sense and not just say because the Bible says so. But loneliness can be as harmful to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Introverts are like, I'm going to pick up smoking. Like, lack of social connection is associated with a 29% increased risk of heart disease and a 32% increased risk of stroke. Community reduces depression and anxiety. A study in 2022 showed that community-based interventions significantly reduce the symptoms of depression and anxiety, particularly in people who participated in group activities, support groups, like our recovery groups who meet here through the week, compassionate friends who meet here every other week, and faith-based gatherings like church. People who have social groups and social support and are connected to a circle have been reported to have higher self-esteem, lower stress levels, and a better ability to cope with difficult things. And I promise I'm done. This is the last little bit of research done by the American Psychological Association shows that people who feel like they belong somewhere are more resilient to stress and are less likely to suffer from burnout. People who participate regularly in communal and spiritual activities have higher levels of meaning in life. Higher levels of meaning in life, which correlates to better mental health. We've been talking about all the inward ways we can focus on how to care and love ourselves, and those are important, and I don't want you to forget those. But one of the best things that we can do for ourselves is to let ourselves be loved by others. One of the best things that we can do for ourselves is let ourselves be loved by others. From the beginning, the two things that God said that we needed is rest and people. And he probably knew we needed rest because there is a such thing as too much people. And I don't think this will embarrass her, but one of the ways that I felt the most loved when we went to Pride a few weeks ago was Beth walking around the event with my kid to all the tables, to bounce houses, the playground, buying him snow cones and toys. He came up with he pulled some out. I was like, they were giving those away? And Annika was like, yeah, for money. This is Beth buying him stuff. Because not only does she love my kid and create a bond with my kid and become part of the village that's helped raising him to be a good person, but it gave me the opportunity to love people who needed people, to love people who needed to see a pastor and a religious institution at a Pride event. And sometimes I have a really hard time relying on people. And I know I'm not the only one in the room who has a hard time asking for help or relying on people for help. But I'm learning and I'm figuring out that I have a team, I have a family, I have a community, and I do not have to build refuge alone. And the truth is that I'm learning and trying to figure out for myself is that I was never supposed to. I was never supposed to build this alone, and I've been learning to let people love me and help me and serve me and honor me as their pastor. And I genuinely, I don't know that it's been meditation or prayer or even my therapy that has helped my mental health. I believe that it's been you guys. I know. Remember how last week I paused in different moments to take a cry break? I paused right here to cry when I was writing my sermon because I had this epiphany that I have a team, I have a family, I have a community that is supporting me to do the thing that we're doing here. And so I took a cry break and I was just very thankful because I need people. You need people. People need people. And we see this lived out. We see a beautiful picture of the way we were supposed to be in Acts chapter 2. It says they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. And all the believers lived in wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. And every meal was a celebration, exuberant and joyful, as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added to those who were saved. And this is what the church is supposed to look like. Simply put, be together, eat together, take care of each other. Wash, rinse, repeat. Acts Church is telling us, I have coined a new phrase, the church is supposed to be potluck with purpose. Because if you think about the early church, yeah, TM, nobody steal it, it's mine. Acts chapter 2 is telling us that we don't need full bands because they didn't have a full band. They didn't have stage lights or smoke machines. They didn't have screens and projectors and really good graphics. They didn't have somebody hitting the next slide so that you could read the Bible verse along with the apostle. All they had were each other. Just people showing up for each other with casseroles. Just a simple, beautiful picture of what the early church was and what it should be today. A group of people choosing to live in rhythm with one another, praying together, eating together, sharing resources, and being generous. It wasn't forced or performative. It wasn't a show. It wasn't about being holy or important or looking holy or important. It was simply about becoming whole together. The early church was about making sure people who needed to belong, people who needed to feel whole, had a safe place to do that. See, we were created for community, and it is not good for us to be alone. And if we don't do community and relationships properly, the flip side of this is codependence, which is why our holy habits leading up to tonight are important. Meditation, prayer, Sabbath, silence, and solitude. They don't isolate us. They help keep us coming back to ourselves, help us connect with God so we don't lose ourselves in the noise. And I can do this. And I think we all can do this. My main love language is words of affirmation. So when people just, they want to constantly tell me how amazing I am, I just want to be around that and soak that up. I just, like... You want to inflate my ego? Go for it. I'm here for it. So I can very easily lose myself in the noise and the praise of people and mistake that distraction for connection or even my purpose. But when I work on myself, when I work towards inward healing, there goes that new wall. Nancy just put that wall up too. But we could lose ourselves in the noise. We could be so caught up in being around people, being around community, being that social butterfly that we lose focus of ourselves. And we're just doing and being to just do and be. But when we're rooted in love for both God and ourselves, then we are truly able to fully show up and love others well. Not out of obligation, not out of burnout, but out of overflow. Giving from a place of fullness. And this is why we rest. We do purposeful work and purposeful rest. We talked about this when we talked about Sabbath. God rested and worked. He rested and worked. It was a rhythm, purposeful work and purposeful rest. And the community acts wasn't all about potlucking with a purpose, but they were about working together in a shared effort, building the kingdom, building the church, building a community together. And we see that their numbers grew every day. Building and working and creating together. So let's jump back to Genesis. Genesis 2:15 said, God took the man and set him down in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and to keep it in order. God put man in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and keep it in order. Yes, we've been called to rest. We've been called to take care of ourselves from the very beginning, but we've also been called to work. Why would God need to create Sabbath if we weren't supposed to work? What are we supposed to rest from? Our work. So whether you read this story allegorically or literally, this verse, chapter 2, it is before the fall. And let's look at the whole story being told is that this verse, it comes before, like I said, the fall. So the serpent, it comes before the woman ate the wrong fruit. The beginning of humanity was placed in the garden, yes, to delight in God, to worship with God, to spend time with God, to delight in the creation they were surrounded by, but they were also placed in this beautiful paradise to work the ground and keep it in order. Work, sorry to be the one to tell you this, but work was not the punishment for sin. Work was intended to be part of the kingdom of God from the very beginning. God invited humanity into co-creation. Genesis 2:19 says, so God formed the dirt of the ground, all the animals of the field, all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man named the cattle, named the birds of the air, and named the wild animals. And this is kind of wild when you think about it, is that a human being got to name all the animals. I for sure would have really made God regret this decision if it was me. He was told to name. He would have been like, are you sure that's what you want to name it? Because it's something God could have easily done. And Adam probably came up with names, and God was like, are you sure? Are you sure you're sure? Like, really sure? Like, platypus, that's what you're going with? But instead, God invited humanity into the creation process. So whether you believe it's literal or allegorical, the picture is the same, is that God wants to work with us. God doesn't just do it all or demand that we do it all. Instead, we get to contribute and to imagine and have meaning and purpose to co-create, to co-build the kingdom of God. It wasn't just caring for the garden or digging dirt and pulling weeds. It was naming, shaping, and speaking life into the world. Our work, none of it is meaningless. Everything we do in and out of this building is a collaborative with a God who invites us to name things, build things, and cultivate goodness in the world, to cultivate love, justice, and mercy in our community. Our work is part of our worship. The word used in Genesis 2 is the same word used throughout the Old Testament to describe worship and service to God within the temple. And what this tells us is the Bible does not draw a clear line and distinguish secular work to holy work, but all of our work is worship. All of it is worship when it's done with love and intentionality and humility. Sacred holy work isn't reserved for me because I'm teaching and I'm pastoring you and I'm leading you. Sacred work is cooking for your family, hanging drywall, painting walls, laying carpet tiles, volunteering, showing up for people who need people. It is all sacred. I could just stand up here and name job after job and vocation after vocation. Whatever work you do, done with love and humility, is worship to the Lord. And so what I am not saying, I want to be clear when I say this, is that you have to serve in this church to fully worship God. It's not worship if it's done out of compulsion or guilt. Obligation is not the same thing as love. I might overcorrect in this, but if someone tells, like Mary, it's not call you out here a little bit, but I was like, one day I asked her, I was like, hey, could you help me schedule the band and pick the songs? And she said, no, I will not do that. She said, I have a boundary where I will get sucked into that and it won't be healthy for me. So I have to say no. And the healthy part of me was like, you know, good on you. Good on you for taking care of yourself. The unhealthy part of me was like, and I got to do it all alone? But I love that. I love the boundary you have to tell me no. When there's something you know that you, that will cross your boundary and consume you, please tell me no. Because obligation is not love. People pleasers. If you feel obligated to do something, it's not always out of love. And our giving philosophy, like I said tonight, whether it's your money or your time, your resources, whatever it is it simple? Is you give what you can when you can. Just do it with love. Do it with intentionality. Do it with mercy. Do it with people in mind. Give what you can when you can. I don't want you to serve or do something that needs to be done in the church because you feel bad. I want you to serve because your love for God and the love you have for other people inspires you to do so. Because when it comes from that place, when it comes from a place of loving God and loving people, that's worship. And this is how Jesus worshiped. Jesus modeled it in his work rest rhythm. He would retreat and return. He would retreat and return. And this is what he's saying when he says, walk with me, retreat with me, connect with me, be reminded of your purpose, and then work with me and watch how I do it. Watch how I do it from a place of love for both God and people. We've watched Jesus retreat and care for himself. Now it's time to return with Jesus and do the work of loving people well. And some of us in the room have to deconstruct the version of faith and service that says sacrifice and hustle are the signals of holiness. And if you take nothing else from tonight, please let it be that self-care is not selfish. It's necessary because it empowers us to love others well. Because you cannot give from an empty well. Because when we don't care for ourselves, our compassion shrinks, our patience thins, and it even suppresses our desire and our need to be around community. So we then avoid people, which leads to us trying to give from an empty or burnt out place. That is not sustainable, it's not healthy, and it was never what God wanted for us. Holy habits, they interrupt the hustle, they shut down lies and insecurities, they strip them of their power over us and allow us to come back to ourselves and remember who we are and what really matters. And so I want to end this series with this. This series has been about reclaiming you, your soul, your time, your voice, your limits, your boundaries, and your healing. Because only when we care for the person God created us to be can we truly love the people God has placed all around us. So the goal is to take meditation, prayer, silence and solitude, Sabbath and deconstruction, and turn them into habits so that our love for others becomes the overflow of our healing. Community is holy. Work is sacred. But you, your heart, soul, mind, and presence is where it starts. So take your time. Make space. Practice the habits and let love lead. I'm going to invite Mary to come back up because as we end tonight, I want us to ask ourselves this question. Where might God be inviting you to give from? Where is God asking you to give? Is it time? Is it money? As we sing this song, it's one of my favorite songs. It's called Jesus, We Love You. As we just honor Jesus tonight and tell him how much we love him, can we think about that question? And just meditate on this prayer. Will you pray with me as I close out tonight? God, may we go from this place not striving, not hustling, not working harder then we need to work, but resting. God, let us rest in the truth that you are already enough. May our rhythms reflect your grace. May our work be worship. And let our love be an overflow of our healing. Remind us that we are loved. Remind us every day that we are loved, that we are called, and that we are not alone. May we live this next week. God, may we live as misfits, as members of refuge, in peace and in purpose. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we invite you into these moments to work in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?